Kane is in the building.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Three-Peat Podcast, Season 8, Episode 4. It's already four episodes in, so we like that. I'm your host for the night, Stephen Bonazzo, and as always, I'm beyond joyful to be joined alongside
Josh Fromowitz,
PJ Hummel,
and Alex Castle.
So because all of our teams suck for every sport that we enjoy, and or basketball and hockey haven't started yet, but since our baseball team sucks and football sucks, we're not going to talk any sports tonight. We're just going to talk about movies and books, any good books we have read lately. So, no, I'm just kidding. We will talk sports, but yeah, but I mean, that's pretty much the point, Blake. Our teams suck, are real bad. You know, the Bears are 0-4 at this point. I want them to lose. The Giants are not, they might be in the race for Caleb too. And then Fromwitz, you know, you might think your Jets are a little different too, but I don't know. I think they kind of suck without Rodgers, at least offensively. So it's just not been a joyful football season to watch. But we will talk about it because it just needs to be said. It needs to get off our chest or else we're just going to like walk around angry all day. And then we might get fired from our jobs because we slip up and say the wrong thing. Like we need to get this off our chest. And I think there's not one person or two people they need to get it off their chest more than TJ and Alex, because what you guys had to go through Monday night, watch, and every Giants fan going through that and just witnessing it. I don't know what is worse, the Giants players having to go through that or the fans, because at least the players at the end of the day, Danny Dimes, Evan Neal, Andrew Thomas, Sexy Dexy, Saquon, they get their game check and they see millions and millions of dollars. So maybe that kind of erases the pain off a little bit. But us fans, hey, a lot of money, hundreds of dollars to eat crappy food, get crappy seats, and watch a crappy play. So I think the fans have it the worst. But I will let Castle and TJ handle it because, like, I don't even know what you guys are feeling, because it's a different type of feeling than the Bears, you know, or the Jets or any other team. So, Castle, you're on my screen right now, and I know you've been itching, so I'm letting you off the leash and just rain hell on them, please. Give it to them. Cause,
well, at least before Castle goes, at least give a little backstory as to why he would be upset, not just with the game, but some other.
Yeah, okay, Fromwitz. I was getting there. So you're jumping the gun. But also, today came out, I believe it was today, that Evan Neal just was ripping Giants fans. Because obviously everyone's calling for him and yelling at him for sucking because, I mean, he just sucks. And he pretty much said that all these fans that are chirping him flip hamburgers and hot dogs. And that's really not the case. There's probably a lot of fans that are successful in their own careers. So, but he's pretty much, I feel like he's pretty much saying, I'm rich. You guys are just kind of bums. What do you know? But it's like, at the same time, this is your job and you're not good at it. If these people, these fans aren't good at their jobs, they're getting fired. So the fact that he gets to go out every week and make that much money to look like that. So that was another addition, I think, to your guys' angriness. Not only you see that kind of performance, but then that's a kind of response you get from the players. Like, they almost don't care. Like, you know, that they think that the fans should be happy. It's just another reason to be angry. So now that I think everyone's caught up with the situation, Castle, like I said, I'm unleashing you off the leash and just go rain hell on them.
I just want to boost you up a little bit, Stevie, because I know there's been a cloud over you to start this season off. So before I get into my spiel, I want to boost you up a little bit and say that the Bears are not the worst team in football. And the Giants, frankly, should be 0-4. And
I don't know if that's boosting Stevie up, though. He wants this number one pick, and you're trying to make it sound like Stevie and the Bears get the second pick. And I don't know if Stevie would like to hear that.
No, Castle, I get what you're saying. And I obviously do enjoy that you're trying to give me a positive. But Promise is right. I do want to be the worst team because I think I want Caleb Williams pretty damn bad. So,
all right. Well, then we'll leave it at our teams are circling the drain together, holding hands, going down the tubes, because I'm sick. I am truly sick to my stomach with what I have seen these past four games. Like I said, I really don't even think we should be 1-3. We're lucky that we came out of the gate the second half and just caught the Cardinals off and put points up on the board. But aside from that, 3 points last night, 0 points week one. Against San Francisco, I think it was 10 points maybe. Three for that game too. So...
12. My fingers are not...
That's 12. Okay. Yeah. I appreciate the effort. So 12. So... I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, let's start off with this. Now, when we all watch football, special teams is the last thing that any of us really pays attention to. If you tell me that you get excited to watch guys kick the ball, then go fucking watch soccer, all right?
Tell Pat McAfee that.
A certain Pat McAfee would take offense to that, sir.
Listen, I I'm going to say this. I love Pat McAfee. I was actually listening to his episode yesterday, and even though he called my quarterback Danny Delicate, rightfully so. So no disrespect, Pat. Really, that was not. Also, we can all agree that Pat McAfee was not your average punter. I mean, if you look at this guy's highlight reel, he was different. I mean, the dude could have been a linebacker if he really wanted to. But anyways, special teams, we're not watching the game for that, but it still is a critical part of the game. And we've had the same same special teams coordinator for 6 years now. This guy was part of the Pat Shurmur regime, and he's still here. And the guy literally has the same look on his face every time. Doesn't matter if you muff a punt, if you cause a penalty, he's going to have that same stupid look on his face. And it's I don't know what this guy does that he deserves his job. I mean, when Dable took over, he literally said, "Hey, you want the job? I'm not even kidding you. I heard this on another reliable podcast." He didn't even have to prove himself. And here we are. I think yesterday we had three penalties on special teams. One of them was by the long snapper. What long snapper is getting a penalty these days? So get rid of the special teams coordinator. Please do it. Just do it. I don't care when you do it. So that's the problem with special teams. Then we move over to the offense. Now, the reality is starting to sink in, and I want TJ to give his opinion on this as well. The reality is sinking in that this contract might not be worth it. And we do have the option to get out of it after next year. So this contract might not be worth it. Now, the offensive line is atrocious, and having Andrew Thomas hurt, having our rookie center go out, that hurts. Having, you know, all of these scrubs trying to create a makeshift line, that all hurts. But when you have your number 7 draft pick literally flying around the field like he's got no feet, pushing Darren Waller out of the way, who's already trying to make a block, who has to block more himself because of the injuries, you can't expect Jones to do that much. On the other hand, there were some plays where he looked really bad. And I'm going to give credit to one young quarterback who I only watched one half of his game last week, but I saw confidence, and this guy has dealt with a lot. Now, a lot of it is his fault, but he's dealt with it, and he's actually starting to turn it around. And if he can have the right attitude, I think he can steer the offense in the right direction. And that's Zach Wilson. He has some attitude change, and he came out in this tough game against Kansas City, and you saw the emotion from him. You saw the play. You see how he interacts with his teammates. You see how he handles himself in the press conferences. Daniel Jones, yes, he's a great professional, but the guy is so stiff. And man, I swear I'm going to lose it if I keep seeing this stupid, dazed look on his face. What's the guy's name? Witherspoon, is that his name? The rookie for Seattle? He said that part of their game plan was seeing Daniel Jones's eyes, because they would follow his eyes and know that wherever he was looking first, that was the guaranteed read. And that's probably what cost us that pick six. So, and you have that, you know, you add all of these talented speed players. I mean, Hyatt, Campbell, Waller, and none of them are getting the ball. And again, part of that is the crap with the offensive line, but there's just something that's not really connecting here. And I don't know how to move forward with it. You know, already looking into this next week against Miami. Right now, Andrew Thomas is trending towards not playing. John Michael Schmitz has a shoulder injury. He's not looking too great, but he might be able to play in the end. We did bring back Justin Pugh, which is a really cool reunion. 2016 first round pick. He definitely knows the culture. I'm excited about that, but he's not going to be ready in time. So, you know, I think, and then, you know, we could talk about the defense. I don't know. I mean, defense actually didn't do that bad. Seattle last night only had two plays that were plus 40 yards, two drives that were plus 40 yards, something like that. But the defense actually wasn't that bad. It was good to see Kayvon make some plays. Azeez helping with the pressure too. You know, Deontay Banks' stat line wasn't that bad. I think he only allowed DK three catches for 34 yards. I mean, listen, that touchdown, Josh, you might be able to give better perspective on it, but I think he was just simply outmanned. I mean, you can't really expect Banks to have full coverage of him in the red zone like that. So
how's the hell?
It was just mechanical wide receiver work by DK.
I think
he kept him locked there, and then last possible second, ducked behind Banks. Banks didn't see him, caught it right in the end line there.
I think the only issue with that was that the Giants didn't send a double team to help, because on that throw, it looked like, and I said it to you multiple times, Castle, it looked like they're playing basketball. Banks just got boxed out. It was just the bigger guy being more aggressive, getting the rebound, and nothing Banks could do in that situation. But your corner should not be put on that type of an island when for a touchdown. That's just, yep. I think that's just poor coaching, because if you know, and you know, when you're facing the Seahawks, your game plan is to not allow DK Metcalf to win those, or to have those one-on-one balls, because he's going to win them 9 times out of 10.
And Castle, I think the one weakness with the defense that I'm seeing week in and week out is third and long. You guys get teams third and long, and then you allow chunk plays or bad penalties, holding, pass interference, and then it just gives them all these free yards. And it's not like they gain, you know, 5 like yards. Say if it's like third and 15, you give them like up, you give like 20, 25 yards up. So not only do they get the third and long, but then they get an additional like 10 or 20. Like, so that just seems to, and that was the case even Monday night. Even when Drew Locke stepped in, I think he completed a couple third and longs before Geno came back in. And that's just like, you can't have that. And the tackling too. I mean, you got lucky that first one that Ken Walker's elbow was down, because it was smart play by him.
It was the right butt cheek.
Yeah, and the right cheek too.
But then But then that Noah Fant play, it's inexcusable.
See, I'm surprised, like, sorry to cut you off, Castle, but Stevie, I'm surprised you call, like, your biggest thing with the defense is third and long, when the biggest thing is they can't tackle to save their life.
And
I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm sitting here thinking I can play better coverage because I can at least tackle with my whole body instead of using my arms.
I in fact, during a JV game my sophomore year, made a game-saving pick-six tackle. The kid picked it off, and I was the only one left. And now, granted, I this kid is probably 6'3", skinny kid.
Did you do it to Baker him?
I was 4'11". I went straight to the knee. I got a Jamal Adams. I thought I was concussed. This was on a grass field. I stayed in the game. I'm not like Jamal Adams. I'm a tough guy. I was a little dazed, but I made the game-saving tackle and for the JV game that we ended up winning. But if I could make a tackle at 4'11", probably 80 pounds as a sophomore in high school, I don't see why the Giants professional players can't do it on defense. I mean, that's just – it's on, you know, if you play defense, the number one thing you should be able to do is tackle.
No, it's inexcusable. And the fact that leading up to this game, we had to bring in a tackling drill from training camp to refresh the defense. You have 11 days to prepare for this game. And Seattle, you know what? And I said going into this game, it's a winnable game, but I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy one. And you know what? Even with the makeshift offensive line, Geno getting hurt, they still were able to string some plays together. I mean, they looked sloppy too. Don't get me wrong. There was that one drive in the first quarter where they had three consecutive penalties and they ended up going first and 25. Can't build off of that. I mean, there were multiple drives where we got the ball back and we couldn't build off of it. And then in the third quarter, they're driving down. They're in the red zone. They go for it on fourth down. And Micah McFadden, who, love him, great young linebacker, he breaks it up and we can't capitalize off of that. So coming full circle here with everything I have to say, it's really, really, really sickening. I think the reality is that last year was a bit of a fluke. I think we strung together some nice wins. And as we see with their current season, the Minnesota Vikings are not a great team. So I think we just outplayed, maybe outcoached them that game. But the Giants are, they're in a tough spot. And it's only week four. I'm not saying to do anything drastic. I am saying fire the special teams coordinator. I'm saying that Bobby Johnson, our offensive line coach, should be in the hot seat. And I'm not going to say anything drastic beyond that, but I'll tell you right now, this team is nowhere near the playoffs. This team has so many holes to fix still. And I think that if we're 10 weeks later, and I'm having the same conversation, I think they will have to take a real look at the Jones contract. And thank God, worst case scenario, we can get out of it next year. I mean, we take a $20 million cap hit, which is not great, but at least we're not fully locked into this guy, because if this is what it's going to be like, I don't know. So I'm going to let you give your input, Stevie, and then I think it's only right we pass the mic to TJ for a little bit.
Of course, yeah. No, I just... it's been a tough watch, and having, you know, my brother is a Giants fan. The house was some screaming, some vulgar language being used, and for all good reasons. And poor Jason Dominguez. I mean, poor kid, the Martian, goes his first football game, and that's a showing he gets. Like, this kid, what a rude awakening to New York. He, you know, Tommy John with the Yankees suck. Then, you know, and then all he wants to do is enjoy his first football game at MetLife. Gets, at least the weather was nice, but
off going to the Jets game. It was actually a close game. I'm sure he would have loved all the Swiftie nonsense. That would have been way more entertaining for him. So,
Mark, I think he just needs to get out of New York baseball wise. But I think football, he might need to be another. He might need to be another fan of another team, another city.
Hey, as much as you might want to talk trash about us, there's nothing wrong with being a Jets fan right now. And I'll get into it after TJ's little rant, but perfectly fine on in Jets Nation right here.
Now, TJ, I have a question for you. So I don't know if you kind of want to just give you a little input first, or if you want to answer my question. You know what? How about we do this?
I'll ask my question first. You already got me intrigued.
Yeah. So I'll go my question first. So we heard what Castle said. I'm sure most Giants fans are feeling the same thing. You know, I got to imagine feeling the same thing. And I was kind of asking my brother this, and I want to start gathering this info. And I want to ask LPG this too. How long the leash does Daboll have? Now, he's coming off Coach of the Year. Now, listen, as a Bears fan, I kind of went through the same thing Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy won Coach of the Year his first year. We ended up losing that game to Philly wild card. You guys ended up winning that wild card game. But then each year, it just got worse and worse. And the Bears, you know, went 8-8 and then 8-8 again, made the playoffs, and then they went like 6-whatever. And then he was canned. How if the Giants, I mean, this is not like this is not like a slight decrease in play. I mean, this is like my brother was saying, this was almost as bad and maybe even worse as any Joe Judge team. So if this play now granted, I think you got to give Daboll, obviously, you know, all right, definitely through this season. And then I think you give him another shot next year. But then if it's the same thing, do you can him after next year? Or do you get rid of, you know, like other changes made and then Dable's there? Like, I don't know, like how much of a leash are you giving Daboll, or how much time are you giving Daboll to try to fix things, and Shane, I guess, until you're like, it's time for a whole new regime again?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I'm not blaming Dabes at all for this play. I think they're running the same offense they ran last year and the league figured them out. You see everything between Dabes and Jones that was going on through the game, ultimately to the disgust of Dabes throwing his own Microsoft Surface. I think that boils down to Dabes was trying to coach DJ. DJ sat down on the bench and buried his head in his own Microsoft Surface. And I think what the overall problem is, at least with this offense, minus obviously the injuries, you can't help that. I think the biggest problem is they put more on Daniel Jones's plate and he hasn't quite adjusted yet. I'll give you a point to back it up. I got it from Talking Giants today, listening to their mailbag episode. Through the first four games of the season, Daniel Jones has 44% of his completions to two running backs and two slot receivers. That's and if you're wondering what my process with that is, they kind of said it too. It's get the ball out of my hands as fast as possible and see what happens. Granted, I don't know if that is correlated with the makeshift offensive line like they had on Monday when they had five guards playing the line. I think Daboll and Shane have quite the leash, especially with the success they brought in the first year as a regime. Now, obviously, this is a drastic decline from last year. And again, I don't think it's on Dabes. It's not on Joe Shane. Could put a little bit on Wink trying to figure out a defense. But I think overall, they expected a lot more out of Daniel Jones, and he isn't performing to those expectations. Now, will that simplify play calling? Will that make play calling a lot more, get it out to my checkdowns, get it out to my slots, do not throw deep? Or is it a mental thing with Daniel Jones? I can't really tell yet. I know four weeks in, you should probably be able to tell, but I can't tell. Because you look at the second half against the Cardinals, he looked like the Daniel Jones we signed him for $40 million for. That's why we paid him that much, because he was able to lead us back and win the fucking game. And to Castle, I love you. Last season was not a fluke because they did significantly better with significantly less. And that was to coaching. That is 100% on coaching. This year, I don't think coaching is overall the case because you brought in a lot of new people. You brought in new weapons for Daniel Jones. And I think personally, DJ doesn't know what to do with a full offense. I know injuries have played a key role so far, but it shouldn't be an excuse as to why you can only throw to your slots and your running backs. He has the accuracy. He has the arm strength to throw deep. And like you, I think either Stevie or Castle said, it's all like they have the speed threats, Paris Campbell, Jalen Hyatt, Darren Waller got brought in for contested catches. He was wide open on a post route when Daniel Jones threw that pick six.
Which, by the way, he didn't even look anywhere else.
No, because he was dead set on, I'm throwing to Paris Campbell because this is what the defense is giving me.
And also,
the defense read him like a damn book.
I don't know why he keeps going to Paris Campbell, because every time he throws to Paris Campbell, it's legitimately like a 2 yard gain, and Paris Campbell can't do.
You know Paris Campbell's like average like depth of target is like 4.4 yards.
Yeah, and then he always gets like, for being such a burner, like kind of shifty guy, he cannot like make a juke successfully. Like, he had one, I think.
You can get better jukes out of Isaiah Hodgins than you get out of Paris Campbell, yeah, who was like, brought in to be a slot threat.
Paris Campbell literally does, like, 4 yard out and then gets tackled, like, every single play.
He kind of reminds me of how Tyler Lockett plays, in a sense where he makes a catch but will not go for yak because he's afraid to get hurt, afraid to take a big hit. I don't know what it is.
He just goes down. He legitimately
he catches the ball, goes down. And that kind of brings me into special teams a little bit, and then I'll let you go after that. How are you a professional football player and you dive to catch the punt every time? Isn't that peewee stuff? Don't they teach that in peewee, how to catch a punt? Like some of the special teams penalties, or like even throwing back like Eric Gray, Gary Brightwell, Adoree Jackson. Why? We found out what happened last year when you put him at punt return. What happened? He missed almost half the season. Like, I don't understand. And Castle had a great, great point. This guy's been around since the Pat Shurmur era. I don't know if it's loyalty to their coaches or what. Because even during the Tom Coughlin era, they kept the same special teams coordinator. And he was consistently bad. He never got any better under Coughlin, but stayed under Coughlin and stayed a little bit past that. I don't know who's to blame for that. I don't know if it's Mara, if it's... Who's keeping the loyalty to their coaches because they're homegrown coaches? Oh, they've been since day one. Who cares? I don't, because it's a losing product on the field. And speaking of losing products, Evan Neal, you can go kick rocks and pound sand. I work blue collar. I get my hands dirty every day of the week. I can't even afford to buy a ticket to a Giants game. I've never been to MetLife Stadium. But I watch every game religiously because I love that team maybe more than life itself at this point. What I the gall that he had to make those comments, being a second year piece of shit. Like he lost 20 pounds this offseason, gained 10 pounds of muscle. Where is it? Is it in his feet? Because he can't move. Is it in his ankles? He can't fucking bend.
Could have went to his head.
He looks like he's on a fucking seesaw every time. The man is so unbalanced, he looks like he should be blown into a breathalyzer before the game. Like, I have never seen somebody so bad and then have the gall to make such ridiculous comments about a fan base that is more loyal to this team than I don't know. Oh, God. I'm ranting. I need to stop. Someone come off.
No, I haven't gotten a chance to speak.
Your time's coming up.
All right, but I need to give TJ a break. It ties into what he was saying. I'll let you lead me into Jets talk after, but
go ahead.
I just disagreed with a lot of what TJ was saying. I get if you want to let Dable off the hook, he was coach of the year, whatnot, but to give Shane a break too, I think that's a little absurd. And I think he should be fired by now at this point, because I think the way he constructed this roster is atrocious. I think Giant fans thinking that they had any sort of shot before the season started is ridiculous because of how poor this roster was coming into the season. This team is terrible. Daniel Jones at $40 million. That money belongs to Saquon Barkley. And I get you don't pay a running back that much, but you give him what he was asking for, which is what was it, like 14, 15 mil? And they settled for 12, 13, around there?
Yeah, I think.
Well, he wanted CMC money.
Which was?
Which was, I think, 16?
Because I think Bijan is now the highest, and he's only like 15.
No, 14 was the solid number that Saquon wanted, and we were willing to go maybe 13 and a half.
Okay. So I think, so now you get Saquon back miraculously, in my opinion, that he reported to the entire training camp, didn't hold out, signed an extension. So he didn't play on the franchise tag, but very little confidence he returns next year. Cause you're going to have to do the whole song and dance again next year. If you get him back, he's going to want an extension. The Giants are going to want to extend him. So at this point, I think he's gone. You still have Daniel Jones, and maybe you could eat his contract and get out of it. But, and only receivers they brought in are slot guys. You don't have any true wide receivers besides Darren Waller, essentially. Your O-line is still a problem. It was last year. It was the year before that. Andrew Thomas is a stud. He's a top three tackle, but it really doesn't matter if the rest of the O-line is a liability. And your defense, I think, is fine, but you guys were also saying special teams is a problem. So maybe that also does fall on Dable's coaching. Maybe not necessarily him, but also his coordinators. Maybe that's where an issue is. So I'm putting a lot of blame on Joe Shane if I am a Giants fan, because this team is not good. And in a division where with the Eagles and the Cowboys and Washington not looking so bad, Giants are probably the worst team in that division. And maybe for years to come with how young and talented those other teams are.
I think this year is more, because Shane still kind of got his hands tied with Gettleman destroying the cap. You know, Shane really.
Yeah, that's why I was going to disagree with you, Josh, and or like.
But yeah, you're tied to the a little cap. Bit. You're tied to the cap, but you
like still how can you go get top free agents when you don't have the cap?
How it's not, but how do you sign Daniel Jones $40 million a year?
Let me say this though.
But not make your entire offense and Saquon Barkley not happy. It really was not much more of a difference with what he wanted versus what you were holding out to give him, not give him. So I think if you sign Saquon and you let Daniel Jones walk, or you give him the franchise tag, which is only like 30 or something, or you bring in another quarterback and you draft a quarterback, I think the Giants would be in a better situation.
I disagree, because here's the thing. Jones last year, first year in that system, looked like, all right, he didn't put eye-popping numbers, but the turnovers, which like was probably the biggest thing, dropped like drastically.
But you could say that year was a fluke, though.
We at this point, we don't know. But here's the thing I will say, and this is what I'm going to back. So Jones played very well enough. He led them to the playoffs. He had a very solid playoff performance against the Vikings. And then the Eagles, the Eagles were everyone's kryptonite last year, except for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But at the end of the year, so if they tagged Jones, that would chew up all the salary cap because that's all in 1 year. With this contract, it spreads that money out more evenly. So it gives them more flexibility to sign the contract. And plus,
and I'm fairly certain before the season started this year, they restructured some of Daniel Jones's contract and turned it into a signing bonus so it wouldn't hit the cap as much.
Yeah. But also, too, like, as much as, yes, Saquon's the best player on the team, same thing. It's just like the GM, like, right now, the number one rule, don't pay running backs. So if they chose to pay, just like how Gettleman was made fun of for choosing a running back that high, you don't choose running backs that high. And you don't really pay them. That just seems to be the ruling of
it is the rule when you're a team like the Bengals, where Joe Burrow is the offense, or the Chiefs, where Pat Mahomes is the offense. When you think of the New York Giants, Saquon Barkley is that offense.
But look at him already now. Now he got hurt already again.
But look at the Giants without him. They need him. They have no run game right now. Also partially why Daniel Jones is struggling.
They don't have one with Saquon either.
I'm saying they haven't, but even those first couple of weeks, Saquon wasn't really doing anything that special. Like, all right, the Arizona
receptions.
You know, like, look at CMC. He's having legit impact. That dude just scored 4 touchdowns last week and actually looks like he's balling out this year.
But that also could go back to my point about blaming Joe Shane, not addressing the offensive line position, because look at the difference. You said the Niners, look at their O-line compared to the Giants. And they have a guy who's making less than $1 million this year as their quarterback.
That doesn't go on Shane, because Shane has technically addressed the O-line. He drafted Neal. He drafted Izudu in the 3rd round. He signed Gwilinski. He drafted JMS. So he is addressing the O-line. But that's where I think it comes down to coaching is not developing. And that's where I think right now the Giants' problem is a coach. I'm not saying it's all Dable's fault, but between your online coach, your special teams coach, even Wink on defense, you know, like, I think right now the coaching is not totally. So listen, I'm not saying that Shane is a mastermind and that every move he's made has worked. No, gosh, no. And yes, that contract is looking bad for Jones, but I think at the time it was the right move. And yeah, $40 million is a lot, but same thing's the market. I mean, he's being paid to guys that are like Jared Goff, you know, which typically, yes, Goff's having a really good year. He had a good year last year, but Goff's not a make or break quarterback. You know, a lot of teams would be like, and my brother and I were saying, there's only 5 nasty five really good QBs. And then the rest of the QBs, you could probably cycle through each team and none of them would really have that much success. You know, like besides your Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, Herbert, and Burrow, and obviously Rodgers. Besides those guys, like Jordan Love, Kirk Cousins, Fields, Tua, Tua on any other team, is he going to put up these numbers? Probably not. You know, so like really, and Hurts, like, but even Hurts on the Giants right now, I don't think Hurts would be succeeding. I think Hurts benefits well from a really good O-line and a lot of weapons. And I think Hurts is a very good quarterback and he's perfect for the Eagles. But playing with the Giants, how good would he do? Probably not too good, you know?
You know who would do well on the Giants? And I'm saying this as a joke, but someone who they could have gotten this offseason, and that's Jimmy G. I think hear me out before, because I know it's ridiculous, but hear me out. The way he's not a great quarterback, don't get me wrong, but with the way the Giants brought in slot receivers and speedy guys, right? That is their receiving core, those slot speedy guys. Jimmy G wants to get the ball out quick and short passes. He's not going to take those deep shots. And Daniel Jones is supposed to get the ball out quick, but he takes way too long in the pocket to then he rolls out and it's too late. He has to either scramble for his life and run, or he's getting sacked. Jimmy G in this offense, I think, would be a lot better than Daniel Jones. And that was an option this offseason, and you could have paid Saquon.
My thing is the Giants O-line gives no one any time, so at least Jones has that ability to. I think Jimmy G would be sacked 30 times Monday night if he was back there. I don't know. I just think that the coaching overall needs to step up, and I think it really just comes down to like certain coaching positions, and that O-line just needs to improve, because
I think Dan Orlovsky was saying that out of the 11 sacks, 4 of them were on the O-line and the rest were on Daniel Jones I would take 4 sacks out of 11, like instead of 11 any day of the week. So 7 sacks are on Daniel Jones escaping the pocket and trying to, and like waiting too long. So okay, that's on him.
I'd rather have the attempt though than stick with Jimmy G, who would just throw it away or get sacked.
Throwing it away at least gives another shot, though. But when you're getting sacked, you're behind.
And then at the same time, though, to your point, if you bring in Jimmy G, you'd have to create a whole new offense.
No, not necessarily. Because with the offense, the way the Giants are trying to run it right now, it looks like they're trying to develop some sort of West Coast short passes and a lot of slants, and then eventually like quick outs and utilize the run game. And they're not asking Daniel Jones to take those deep shots to Darren Waller, for example. And I think Jimmy G would do a decent job. I know it's not a great name and not someone you want to hear, but I still don't think
it would have worked any better.
I'll say this. Jimmy G is someone that I did think about at one point. But the reality is at the end of the day, when you look at last season, even before the Vikings game, when it came down to the end of the season, it was known that Jones was going to be the quarterback. I think Shane and Dable, and I'm not agreeing with it, I'm not disagreeing with it, I'm just saying this is what I think the facts are. They looked at the success of the team last year and they truly felt that they were building something with Jones, and they did not want to take the step back. Again, not saying looking back, I agree, I disagree. This is just where we are, and that's why I don't think we explored guys like Jimmy G or whatever other quarterbacks were available, because they truly felt that we were going to build off of last season. Now, the one thing I will say about the contract looking back is I think we should have, and I understand the point with the cap hit if we franchise tag Jones, I think we should have given him less money, and whether it's give Barkley more money or sign someone with the line, I think with the little assets we had last year, we should have spread it around a little more, but that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, really it comes down to, like, yes, coaching, like, yes, the roster construction, but the Giants have guys. They have more guys than they did last year, and last year was a successful season coming off all the other years. The coaching definitely needs to be better, but also at the end of the day, like, the players are the ones out there. And listen, especially when you reach the NFL, I don't care if you're a third string guy, you made it to the NFL for a reason, you know? So listen, if you can't block a guy like Micah Parsons, I get it. He's a different beast, but the Seahawks D-line really doesn't have anyone that's like, wow, he's elite. He's different. He's all pro. And the fact that they made the Giants offense look like that is concerning, because listen, if you're if it's a high school team and the third string kid who's probably like a sophomore, junior, is not doing well, whatever. They're a high school kid who probably won't play football in college. Then only college kids, you start getting D1. Now it's like, all right, you got a D1 offer for a reason. You're pretty good and you have a pretty bright future for the sport. But even then, you know, maybe you just play out in college, that's it. But once you make it to the NFL or any league and you're really like that bad, I mean, you have all the resources to get better. you have probably unlimited access to the center, you know, your the headquarters, or I'm just trying to think of the word, you know, like, I don't know what the Giants one's called, but where you can watch film, and you have the right dietitians to help your body be the best shape it is for football. And then you have all, you have so many different coaches. You have so many coaches with how many years of professional experience. But then at the end of the day, like, you're a you made it this far for a reason. Like, how are you then this bad? So I just don't get why. Listen, I know teams will be bad, but why the performance like that is almost consistent. It was consistent with the Bears for a while, with the Giants now. You know, the Jets are kind of tough right now, and we'll get into it pretty much now. But there just should be no reason why these players should look this bad. If you're on an active roster in the NFL, you should not look like you never played football before, because you have for how many years, and you've had at a high level. And chances are you've gone against these guys before in college or whatever. And all right, you know, if rookies don't play well right off the bat, I get it. It's an adjustment. But once you start getting quite a few years in the league, I think, I'm not saying you should be all pro, but you should not be looking like you lost out there and you just are strapping up the pass for the first time. I mean, because that's just unbelievable. And you get paid a lot of money to do it. So really, I think there should be no excuses. And then, you know, and changes should be made just playing wise. I mean, the players should just hold themselves more accountable than it seems like they are. So enough with the Giants. I think we've had a lot of, I think everyone's a little black and blued now. No pun intended. So let's walk across the hall in MetLife to where it's a little green. And let's talk about the Jets. And Alfromitz is on the edge of the seat. He's like, ah, enough of the Giants. I'm tired of it. I just want the J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. Now, Fromwitz. Jets look pretty damn good Sunday night. Zach Wilson, easily his best start. He made Mahomes look like crap because I had him in fantasy. Here's my thing. I do think the Jets are a good team. But I don't think... I still don't see it with them this year without Rodgers. Because, all right, yes, I know, like, obviously Mahomes had a bad game because your defense forced him to have a bad game. I also think Mahomes just, I don't know what was with him, but he didn't look like he was just looking like he was just trying to play a whole different, like, style to his game than he normally does. So I think if Mahomes had the stat line that Zach Wilson did, I think the Chiefs would have beaten you by quite a few more points. And I don't know, like, to Zach Wilson, I think he had that good week, but can he sustain it? So I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think his performance, now we know the defense will ball out pretty much every week between Salah and the guys they have, they will ball out, but the offense, between the Jets' O-line, which is a big concern, you know, the running backs, Breece Hall had that phenomenal week one, but then he hasn't been able to get it going. Dalvin Cook looks like he really, if you didn't sign him, it would not have mattered anyways. And like, do you think, obviously this is a good stepping stone and a building step for Zach Wilson. Can he actually use it to pile brick on brick week in, week out, and now start getting it towards wins? Because then we saw he had that phenomenal game, but then he had that one bad play that costed him. In the weeks before, he's had numerous bad plays, and that's why the Jets offense has looked lost. At least Sunday night, he was playing such a good game, and then like right at the end of the game, that fumble. So I want to hear your thoughts on him. And I don't even know what your schedule looks like coming up. But...
So I think a lot of things. I'm very impressed with Zach Wilson's play. And it gives me a lot of confidence as a Jets fan going forward, because even with Rodgers, this start of the season, we knew it was going to be very tough. You had the Bills, you had the Cowboys, you have the Chiefs, and then we have the Eagles after this week. So within the first six opponents, those are four potentially conference championship teams. The season schedule definitely eases up. And it gives me a lot of confidence moving forward that we could still get this thing rolling in the right track. And whatever happens, happens toward at the end of the season, so be it. But with the way Wilson played and the way Nathaniel Hackett specifically was calling the game, it definitely gives me a lot of confidence that this type of play is sustainable, because it wasn't a complicated game plan going in. But Wilson, it looks like he's gaining his confidence back. I think he definitely has the arm talent. No one has ever questioned that about him. He definitely has the arm talent to make those Rodgers-esque throws. But it was the maturity and it was the confidence that was always the biggest issue. Last year after the Patriots game, not taking ownership and admitting that you weren't the reason why the team lost, and letting down the rest of the team was a horrible look for him. And that is a big reason why we have Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers goes down for the year, and Wilson is thrusted into being the guy again. And those first 2 weeks were brutal. But it looks like we do have our O-line adjustment down. We flipped Mekhi Becton from right tackle to left tackle, his natural position. We flipped Elijah Vera Tucker, who could play anywhere on the line and play it at an all-pro level. He's a beast. We threw in our rookie this year, Joe Tippmann, who had the highest PFF grade, Wisconsin Badger boy. He had the highest PFF grade for offensive rookie so far through his first two starts. So he's very promising. And Laken Tomlinson looks like a stud. And that is a huge plus. We signed him last year. He was supposed to be our big signing last year. Really didn't have a good year, but so far, much better. He looks like the Laken Tomlinson that we signed from San Fran, who helped that Niners team in the Super Bowl. So I'm very, very pleased with our O-line the last 2 weeks. Wilson really didn't see much pressure. I think Kansas City had maybe a sack or two, and that was it. But going forward, I would like to see a little more use of Breece Hall. You mentioned week one, he was a beast. It was announced earlier today that he's no longer on snap count, and every Jeff fan wanted to hear that. So if that means less Dalvin Cook, so be it. He was only signed to be just in case guy, in case if Breece Hall had a setback. But Breece Hall looks amazing. So I'm very excited to see a full workload of Breece Hall again, because especially in that Denver game where he got hurt last year, we know what he's capable of. So I do think, go on, Castle.
I was going to say it was a nice touch for the script to have it announced this week leading up to the Denver game that he's not on a snap count anymore. Not even for the fact that it was Denver that he got hurt against, but all the comments that Sean Payton made. I mean, I know for me personally, I hope they spank the Broncos, because I think they're just a disgraceful franchise right now. I mean, I'll lump them in with the Giants for different reasons, but just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I do like our chances against Denver, and I think it's a good way for us to get back on in the right tracks. I think Sunday, even though it's a loss and there are no moral victories in sports, I think it's a good stepping stone in the right direction because of how we played as a team on all levels. And yeah, Wilson might have outplayed Pat Mahomes, but that's meaningless if you don't win the game. I do think that there was some poor officiating that could be thrown into that mix, but there's nothing that we could control about that at this point. It is what it is. Taylor Swift got what she wanted, and that was a Chiefs victory. Luckily, we don't have to deal with that again this year, unless if we see them in the playoffs. But yeah, that's the end of my little spiel about the Jets, and I'm optimistic going forward because definitely eases up. So hopefully we can keep building in the right direction.
Yeah, I think really the biggest thing is just Zach Wilson, because I said, the Cowboys have just exploited the weakness of all three, like, northern teams, the Giants, Jets, and the Patriots. with their defense. So both all three teams can just say the same thing. I mean, Micah, well, even Micah got hurt against New England, so he didn't have that much of a factor, but just the pressure that the rest of the D-line forced on Mac. And then, you know, Mac just looked like he was lost. Jones looked like he was lost. Wilson looked like he was lost against the Dallas defense. So I think the biggest thing now moving forward is Zach Wilson played a pretty good Chiefs defense with Chris Jones, you know, the linebackers. And, like, it's not like it, the Chiefs defense is weird because they got some really good guys, but then they just have other guys that aren't, like, the best. But Steve Spagnuolo just coaches the hell out of them.
I believe they were ranked going into this week. They were a top five defense.
Yeah, so, like, they are really solid defense.
Trent McDuffie in the secondary is very underrated. Definitely one of the better young cornerbacks in the league.
You know, Legarius Sneed is, you know, very good. So, like, they have really good guys, but really Chris Jones is, like, their only true, like, elite guy, I would say. But like I said, Steve Spagnuolo really just gets everything out of them and just schemes them well. So, but I guess the biggest thing, like I said, is can Zach Wilson build off this and not just have a good week, but then can he now continue to, like, all right, so he played all well all game, and then, like I said, he had that turnover. Can he just finally have a game where he – and, like again, last week it's not like he had 400 yards and five touchdowns. He had 245 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, you kind of just would – especially for a number two overall pick, you would hope he would have that, like, in the third quarter. But, listen, he kept you guys in the game until – he had that costly mistake. So if he just limits.
Well, to be fair, we were in the game the whole time, even with that turnover, because I don't like to blame the refs for the way the game ended. But if you think about it, the costly penalty and the non-penalty at the end, first where Mahomes scrambled on the third and 22, he had that lane, got the first because Jermaine Johnson was held. And then on that first down, the Jets picked him off. Jets had the ball, so we had a chance with 4 minutes left. So that's plenty of time. But yeah, at that point, it is what it is. 1-3, move on to Denver.
Yeah. Well, and listen, you need to turn around though, because Buffalo's picking up the pace real quick. And you know, Miami, yeah, they had a setback against Buffalo, but we know they're flying too. So if the Jets want to stay competitive within the season, it's got to be quick. If I guess
just can't blow a 25-point lead like the Bears did. That's all.
Yeah, and you know what? I was loving every moment when they did. Yeah, my dad was laughing at me because he's like, "I don't get you." I said, "You don't get the true meaning behind, like, having the number one pick." And listen, for the Bears,
which you know what that's like, but then you traded it.
Yeah, well, but last year was the right year to trade it. This year, if we get it, is the year to use it.
Reopening the wound with this conversation.
I still don't.
I know I'm right in this conversation.
I don't know how, because you want us to get Bryce Young.
I didn't say you should have taken Bryce Young, but if you wanted to trade, why did you trade so early? And you could have gotten a lot more for the number one pick.
I really don't think so, because. Now look at it. The Panthers right now, the Bears as of right now, I know it will change. Right now, the Bears have the number one and number two overall picks. And we had used their number one. Then the first round pick we got last year, which we traded down a spot. We got Darnell Wright, who's looking to be like a stud tackle, which is always nice to have. We got DJ Moore, a true wide receiver one, who last week had a touchdown and 130 yards.
And yeah, I forgot about that. The guy finally shows up the 1 week he's on my bench.
Yeah.
I'm playing him tomorrow. I want the Bears to win, but
I don't.
Not going to happen. Three catches, 30 yards max.
But, well, I'm saying, but like we got legit water. And now look at the Panthers. They're searching for, they had a wide receiver one and they traded him. So, like, I don't know. And then we have a second round pick, and then we had a second round pick last year. This past draft, and then we have another second round pick from them like next year. So I don't know how much more we could have gotten. It's not like we got like I don't even know their other receivers. It's not like we got like LaVisca. LaVisca's on is he on Carolina? It's not like we got someone who's like, I mean, like DJ Moore's a legit dude. And now their number one, their first round pick is looking like it's going to be a top pick. So I don't know. To me, I think it was worth it. But for the Bears' sake, I know they're not going to be anything special. So I'm still interested to see. Same thing with Fields. Can Fields build off this performance? That was his best performance of his career, at least passing-wise, last week. I mean, he got the ball out quick. He took deep shots. He actually played like himself, like he was at Ohio State. And that interception at the end, I think it was miscommunication. Same thing. I would like to for him to limit that. But for the most part, his balls were on point all day. I mean, the dude was like 16-16 to start, or even I think he might have had even more. But that was against Denver's defense, we know is real bad this year. So now on a short week, can you do it again against Washington, who's done pretty well? So that's it for football. Before we hop off quick, I just want to give a few updates with baseball. Wild card weekend. It's funny, the AL East was so competitive this year. Now 4 out of the 5 teams are out. The Red Sox and Yankees were eliminated before playoffs even started. And then the Rays just got swept by the Rangers. And then the Blue Jays got swept by Minnesota, who ended their 21-year drought of not winning a series. So, right? Was that the case? Let me see what it was. Yeah. So, congratulations to both Texas and what a story for Texas. I mean, they were real bad just like 2 years ago, and now they're turning around. More wild card baseball is on right now with the National League teams playing. So we will keep, as the playoffs progress, we will definitely talk more baseball. And once basketball and hockey start, which is right around the corner, it won't just continue to be just football. But right now, it's,
I hope not. I'm going to need a very soon. Basketball, we'll talk Knicks, we'll talk Bulls, we'll talk it all. Hockey, you know, I'll throw myself on the ice. We'll do it all.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm loving it. So,
we'll talk about the Nets too. Sorry.
If we have enough time, but I know a lot of times we don't have enough time. But it's starting to get to that time of year where all the sports are going to be played at the same time. So very exciting. Not for our teams, but for just everyone else. With that being said, you know, TJ, thanks for all the great content on the Instagram page. We love it. Love you. And for everyone else, thank you for listening. Hopefully we have more happy rants soon, and Promise is telling me to hop off. I just love talking. So that's it for this week, and we'll see everyone next week.